as you are, the Lebanese national anthem. And there used to be a phrase that was thrown around and came from the NDP, came from the Liberal Party, came from the Conservative Party, came from practically everybody, that Israel was the only democracy, for crying out loud. This used to be uttered all the time. And it was always forgotten that Lebanon has a democracy. And there are many parties, and there was a parliament, and they had to have their own configuration of a democratic system, in which, by the way, they hear more points of view than you do in Canada, a lot more. To go back to the issue of this abuse of the word terror, it's simply a political leverage trick to prevent discussion of topics and to include parties to discussion so that to the potential for dialogue, diplomacy, etc. If you use that device of calling someone terrorist in order to prevent them from being party to, first of all, to be heard, and then, but also to be part of a political discussion. It's one of the dirtier tricks in politics, and it's played here all the time. All kinds of justification for U.S. attacks on various countries and states have abused this term. And in the case of Hezbollah, Canada jumped in with both feet and patted itself on the back. But in fact, Hezbollah is a political phenomena. And they do run for office. People run against them. The fact that there are armed people in that region where Hezbollah is, of course, that's attributable to the fact that they were under Israeli occupation and there was resistance. We're going way back here now, to the 70s, 80s, certainly after the conquest, the invasion of Lebanon by Israel in 1982. When Yasser Arafat of the Palestine Liberation Organization was in Beirut, and the Israelis went all the way to Beirut, they surrounded it. You can look into it. There was an incident, you can look it up, Sabra and Shatila, involving a man who later became the Prime Minister of Israel, Ariel Sharon. And the people of Lebanon began to resist and develop armed groups, as will happen anytime a state, a population, you don't even need a state, a population is occupied by foreigners, there will be armed resistance. It will take many forms. It is not terror, except in the eyes of the occupier. And it would have behooved Canada to respect the institutions of Lebanon, which it did not. It chose to take an element of that society, which is a highly significant one. We just heard Professor Kaboursi say, I think it's the figure, the percentage of the population might be as high as 43%. I will make sure to look it up. Probably by the time I'm finished with the program, listeners will have already looked it up. But it's a very high percentage of the population are Shia, and their political leadership, not entirely, but mostly is regards Hezbollah, which is a new phenomenon in terms of Lebanese history. It's not, and Lebanese resistance has always been there. And Canada, and I would suggest to, now that NDP has a new leader, that they urge that we, given that everything that has happened, given the attacks on Lebanon, given the heavy exchange between the United States and the Islamic Republic, quite unequal in terms of violence, destruction, etc. But and also the attacks by Israel, that now would be a good time for a examination of some of the old ideas about what the phenomenon is, and friends of Lebanon and Canada should be a friend of this, and I'm sure officially the government says it is a friend of the Lebanese people, that their institutions be respected, and if you, since Hezbollah is represented in the parliament of Lebanon, and it is actually a highly influential part of that government, it plays its part, and passes, you know, legislation, et cetera, and works out compromises with parties from the other, what they call confessional groups, the Christians and the Sunni representatives, that Canada respect that. By the way, those parties disagreed with the Western characterization of Hezbollah as terrorists. Again, why don't we respect Lebanese institutions? Why don't we also note that there is have been forever overflights by Israeli military and attacks, and including one today, a helicopter attack in South Lebanon. Why don't we, Canada, acknowledge this phenomena as and respect that country and its institution? The reason we don't is actually is colonial, because there's a bias towards what we, Canada, as a junior partner in a major Western imperial exercise, take a colonial view of everything. I spoke to Professor Kaborsi about nuclear weapons. It's only colonialism, and particularly, I would say, you know, in our planet, in our little heads, that permits us to think that that someone could have a nuclear weapon, a state could have a nuclear weapon, not officially acknowledge that they have it, a state, not acknowledge that they have it, and means of delivery, could be talking to another sovereign state or about them, saying that they cannot have this. Why would we be comfortable with that if it were not colonialism? We actually think we're superior, and we and our friends should be the arbiters, and we should have hegemony. That's our logic. And so we don't question. We say, well, if we have it, it's for good. And we know it must be for good because we dropped atomic weapons twice on Japan. So it must, we did that as an expression of our humanitarianism, et cetera. But this is just colonialism. And the problem is it's actually internalized. Everyone is quite comfortable here. I've never seen an editorial in a Western media saying there should be a nuclear-free region of the Middle East so as to reduce tensions and also to see that diplomacy could prevail and states be treated as though they had sovereignty. The sovereignty of Lebanon is erased every other day by the United States and Israel. It's not simply Israel. The American ambassador in Lebanon always talks like a head of state, meets with whoever they want to meet with, and they make statements of this is good, this is not good, without that being remarked upon as probably the problem. Now, in the closing part of the show, I want to mention, and again, this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, and we are here because Pedro puts us on the air. And there's been a funeral of the Ayatollah Khamenei, and by now the world knows that tens of millions, did you hear that? Tens of millions of Iranians have gone into the street in mourning. And it's being described, not that we're in competition, as the greatest, the largest funeral in history. Put that now, reality, watch it, think about it. By the way, Russia was there, China was there, Cuba was there, Bangladesh was there, Lebanon was there, Saudi Arabia was there. I don't think any of the Western imperial states were there, not that I know of, but not that it matters. It just shows what a disgraceful crowd they are. But think back to our prime minister who said Khamenei, who was assassinated, murdered, along with his granddaughter, his daughter, other members of his family, assassinated. And the Prime Minister of Canada said he was an evil man. And tens of millions of Iranians have taken to the streets to show and to mourn the passing of their leader. For as any 10-year-old could tell you, because 10-year-olds more just tell you the truth, that's because they liked, respected their leader, but also they don't appreciate having a leader murdered by a foreign power, one that used to occupy their country and ruled through a man called the Shah. And you know that in Canada, we officially believe that the Shah somehow represents the people. And we actually had a fairy tale. It's Mr. Hamana Singh and all the CBC and CTV and all the, you know, the little mouths that can say anything they want because they have it, the power to do it, created the idea that there was somehow a mass movement against the Khamenei leadership. That actually was a lie. Yes, there must have been some opposition, but the idea that Trump and Netanyahu and the little Shah, the baby Shah, I guess we should call him, we created the idea that they cared for the people of Iran. That's why they bombed them. Remember, do you remember Donald Trump saying, they want me to finish the job? The people, he's pretending. And you know who's the worst character in this? It's a crowd that didn't boo Trump for saying that because it's absurd. We didn't boo him. We didn't say, are you kidding? You say that bombing bridges, saying you're going to annihilate a civilization, that came out of his mouth, a civilization. I didn't hear the prime minister of our country say, well, now that is evil. No, no, no. He didn't say a word. Not a word. And instead, we all went through the little show that was organized, and our major media actually had this song and dance, as they call it, a song and dance about how Baby Shah, was really desired by the people. Well, apparently in some neighborhoods in New York, in some neighborhoods in Wisconsin, in some neighborhoods in Los Angeles, and some neighborhoods in Toronto really want Baby Shah to go back. But apparently he can only go back if they destroy an entire civilization about 3,000 years old. By the way, this would be the civilization that liberated Babylon, and whose leader said to the oppressed Jews that he found in Babylon, said, you may go home and you may rebuild your temple. That's who they are. They're that old. And they are trained in all the arts, all the sciences. They just to throw in, you know, some things. Their scientific community is 50% or more women. Meanwhile, we have people who do little posters here and say women are oppressed. There are women in the parliament. There are women throughout the culture. Yes, I understand Persian culture is different. Islamic culture is different. But it happens to be actually a highly developed, sophisticated civilization from whom we actually have benefited, because humanity benefits from mutuality, support for each other, trade with each other, exchanges of culture, whatnot. But we have people who want to destroy civilizations in the name of their own gang. And our media has completely played along with that. And this funeral of Ali Khamenei is a indictment of our stupidity. It lays it out for us how easy it is for the malarkey experts to tell us that the people want Baby Shaw, that they want to be bombed, and that we're doing them a favor by murdering their leaders. Try to go back and remember this all started in the first Trump administration when he told the world that he had assassinated the most beloved military man in the Islamic Republic, and Soleimani. And we accepted that, and there was havoc because this no culture, certainly no deep civilization, tolerates or will accept to be treated that way. Iran is a country of 90 million people, and it has a parliament. I'm sorry if Canadian government doesn't recognize that. That parliament is as open and noisy as the Canadian, far more noisy, actually, more sharp differences of opinion. If you were to actually pay attention to them instead of listening to people at the New York Times, CBC, to tell you, don't go to the explainers, go to the person or part of the country itself. That would be minimum respect. And until we have that, our leaders are leading us into a terrible danger. This is Phil Taylor for the Taylor Report. CIUT got to thank Pedro for his wonderful work. And we'll, 33, 45, 78 is coming up. So you got that to look forward. We'll see you.